Hello, I'm your host, Kathy Chester, and welcome to the Move It or Lose It podcast, a podcast about all things that move the mind, body, and soul. The Move It or Lose It podcast is for information, awareness, and inspirational purposes only. I am not a doctor, and I don't even play one on TV. So please consult with your doctor before making any medical decisions. The views expressed by advertisers, guests, or contributors are their opinions and not necessarily the views of the Move It or Lose It podcast. Hey guys, thank you so much. Back to Move It or Lose It, part two with our women and MS intimacy and issues with that. So again, you've got Amanda with us, you've got Roxanne and Julie, and of course myself, Kathy with MS Disrupted. So we're coming back to our intimacy issues and we're going right back into it. So we're going with, are we accepting and do we allow some sex toys, some things in the bedroom when it comes to, so kids, not for you, out with every child, zip out. So this is something that a lot of people are very welcome to. And some people are like, absolutely not, no toys, nothing like that. So for you guys, where do you fall in that? And is that something you are welcome to in the bedroom? Because I know there's that. And there's also a spot of body mapping, which I'll go into, which is something that's a little bit different than the toys.
I mean, I'm all for it. I think whatever makes you, you know, feel better about yourself and that you enjoy it and like finish. Yeah, I think most women have a struggle with getting there as fast as Amanda. So it helps us. And so like if foreplay isn't your thing, like I'm just not super into like, let's not spend 5 hours on this. But toy will always help, I think.
Absolutely. And I think it also depends. And again, Julie, for me in our age, the first time I went to one, I was like, I wanted just to run. Actually, I think I got to the door. I'm being totally transparent. Got to the door, left, went to the bar, did a shot or two, then came back. I mean, we're talking, I came from a pastor's wife. I was terrified. Went back, then went in. Then finally was able to purchase one. I was so terrified. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, so then I went back. So, yeah. But I think it is like, it helps also, I think my husband know where I want that to be, where it feels good, where it's numb, where it's not numb. And then he can like, see like, oh, okay. I didn't realize that's where it feels good. I'm like, yeah, that is where, right there.
Well, for me, so because my issue is slightly different from everybody else in that, like, I deal with issues with like vaginal health and infections and all of that. What's super important to me is just when we do have toys that we're, you know, playing with, obviously keeping them extremely clean, like clean them before and after.
Right.
I have this thing called Soapbox. I think that's what it's called. And it's like a blue light. I don't know. Have you?
Yeah.
It's like it super cleans, like it kills all of the germs. So like certain materials I'll put in the soap box, which sounds super weird.
No, it doesn't. Because of us, we do get infections a lot. We have to have everything really clean. I'll put that at the bottom of the show notes.
So that, and then also just trying to find like the right lubricants and, you know, stuff that's not going to irritate us or stuff that's not going to linger and like cause problems later.
That's a big one.
We love toys, but it's just sometimes feels like more work than what it's, you know, than what would be worth it. So it just depends like on, I don't know, moods, how much effort we want to put in.
Right.
We love it, but definitely it has to be like a situational thing.
What do you guys think about, have you found a specific lubricant that doesn't cause infections? I mean,
I haven't. Let me know.
I've had doctors, I've used coconut oil. That seems to not give me a bad infection. Anyone else?
We've tried that. It didn't last very long.
Okay.
I think peeing after sex really is like a must happen for me.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. I have to absolutely pee and shower right after.
Yeah.
To not get a UTI or yeah. I mean, it's just crazy, but it's just something that has to be done. And so I do get it. For us, it's like, if I get my mind too much in thinking like the after, like, okay, I have to pee, I have to shower, then it's like, it takes away. So I really have to just get my head out of it, or else I'll think about the after and am I, do I have enough energy to do all of that? So I think one of the biggest things I read for women was the lubricants to not get the infections and the fatigue for afterwards and just the beginning of it. So I think that's a big one. I do think sex toys, but I do think that mapping out, which are you guys all familiar with that? Okay. So it's what it is you're lying down and you're basically naked together, and it's from head to toe where you're touching each other, letting each other know what feels good. So were you familiar with that, Roxanne?
I've heard of this. I was going to say, okay, also back to the other discussion, I just think for us and for, I think a good rule of thumb when I've talked to other couples too, is like, understand that this is like, you know, it's private, it's intimate, it's personal choice. And as long as both people are being transparent and there is communication about it, like, yeah. I think when people feel, you know, like something was introduced without their permission or without their consent or without like discussing. So like, that's where for us, it's really important. Like, I think it's really up to the people in the relationship for a lot of these kinds of things. But I think, again, you know, I think it's just very eye-opening when you go to sex therapy, because it is literally pretty much horrifying at first, right? It's like talking to this stranger about all these intimate details. But for us, it was so healing because it was like, we should be able to talk about these things without them triggering a fight.
Roxanne, before we go any further, talk to, because a lot of people don't know the difference between going to therapy and sex therapy.
Yeah. So I've been in therapy since, I don't know, I was 17 on and off. Yeah. And well, and you know, we talk to some of our kids are in therapy, and we talk to our kids about how it's like maintenance. Like, you go to the gym for your body, you go to the doctor for a checkup, you go to therapy when you have feelings that you need to get help processing. And triggers, like for me, I realized a lot of what I was doing when it came to like discussing sex with my husband was shutting down, were triggers from like parts of my story that I needed to take radical responsibility for and work out. It wasn't his job to fix. It was my job to deal with it. Like, triggers are actually like an opportunity in your life, if you look at it that way, to heal something that you need to heal.
Right.
Right. And we can't do them all at once. Believe me, I am such a work in process. It's not even funny. Like, that's why I'm still in therapy. But I think
we all are, I believe.
Yeah. And I think it's like our kids know too, like, we'll go back when we need to, like whenever we need like a touch up, whatever, we'll just head back. And it's not like, it's not because we're in a crisis. It's not because things, we're doing it before it gets to that stage.
Yes.
So for us, like, the difference between sex therapy and therapy was, I'm an oversharer, talker. You know, I'll talk about anything, but it's the same thing when I did EMDR for trauma. EMDR is indicated for a very different reason than therapy. It's if your talk therapy is not helping, you might need someone with a little bit more specific training to deal with what you're dealing with. And I don't know if anyone's read The Body Keeps the Score, but like, yes, it's helped us so much. We had to read it as foster parents, but it's helped me deal with my own stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's what's happening in my own body, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, it was actually virtual because it was somebody that we knew and respected from like their online space, but it was really good because the questions were very hard hitting, and I think you need a regular therapist. And if you're going to delve into sex therapy, because it's like, you know, it's talking about stuff that, especially as women, we've been trained to believe we shouldn't talk about, right? So you need some support for yourself if you're going to do it. But for us, it was very eye-opening, very helpful. It was just a short season.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it sometimes it's needed. And if you,
yeah,
I just want everyone to know, like, therapy is not for people that can't get their ish together.
Yeah.
Therapy is for people that want to live holy and want to live in their most healed state.
Yeah.
And so that is brave. That is brave. go in and deal with whatever the stuff is that's in your life that's preventing you from living abundantly. That's brave, friends. Do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's so great because our younger generation is so freaking open to it. You know, I never hear, I was just with, you know, my kids during the holiday and they're all adults and they're so open to this, you know, where we were not so open. Is your company, business, school, nonprofit organization, or maybe your support group looking for a speaker to talk about what it's like to have an autoimmune disease, or maybe just motivate and help inspire? Well, my name's Kathy Chester, and I'm the owner and maker of MS Disrupted and the program, Damn It, Disrupt, Move, and Transform. I have been doing motivational speaking for years, and I'd be happy to come and help, whether it's motivational speaking at a company or at a school. So please feel free to email me at msdisrupted@gmail.com, or you can check out the website, msdisrupted.com, or feel free to DM me at msdisrupted. Can't wait to hear from you. Going back to the body mapping. So it basically is from like head to toe. So you're both in the bed naked and you're just kind of touching each other from head to toe, kind of feeling like what feels good, what feels warm to each other, what feels intimate. And again, it's not about like having a blasting orgasm. Okay. It's about at that point about feeling like, where does it feel good to be touched? Where does it not feel so good? Because again, it's, we can't expect our husband to be that mind reader. He's not going to know, oh, this has got to feel great. We need to let them know that. So as we body map each other, it gives them a chance as well to say, hey, you know, you've done this for the last 4 years, but actually I don't really like it. And it gives us a chance as well to say, you know what, this, I really don't like it when you touch me here. It actually doesn't feel good, but I like it when you're here. And so it's a very intimate part of not just having a toy, but to be able to touch each other all over and see what feels good. Is it vulnerable? Heck yes. You're having being touched in areas that you're just like, that's the area I don't really want to be. But that's what it is. It's about allowing each other to be vulnerable in parts of your entire body. So if you guys are open to that.
It's important to in that might change. And that's okay with yes. age, with hormones, Absolutely. With diagnosis, with medication. And it is important to say, like, for us, I think it was really good to know that like parts of you are not broken. Right. Like there might be medical issues you need help for that, yeah. but that is still not something that is broken. Like, exactly. I just believe we are meant to live in increasingly more whole states.
Yeah.
And you can figure out what that means, but it's really good to understand like, you know, different desire levels, different, you know, and when you do that research and that therapy, it's like, okay, like these stereotypes of what a woman is are just not realistic, you know, like what, you know, and so especially if that has been formed by society, movies, even more horrifyingly porn. I mean, there's just right. so many unrealistic things that people have gotten from those things that need to be destroyed because it is not that is not true intimacy. That is using 100%. Another person. And if you are Absolutely. Using another person for your purposes, to me, that's not the kind of vulnerable, intimate relationship or marriage I want to be a part of.
No. And some things that change too, that a lot of, especially our newly diagnosed or younger generation don't know, is that as we age, men's libido can go down and women's goes up. So, I mean, I'm at that point now where I'm like, let's go. And my husband's is going down. And so it's a weird dynamic because I'm like, hey, we should do it now. And so I'm like lunchtime matinee. So it's a different, you know, it's different. So at nighttime, I can't always be wrapped up and ready because I want to go to bed. But lunchtime, I'm like, you want to come home? So it's different to, you know, for all of us, but Julie, before I know you got to go early. So before you go, I want for you to talk about, I know you've done an amazing job. You've got your support group that the two of you guys run. What are some of the, anything that you would want to leave listeners with, if you could leave a message to younger women or just women newly diagnosed that are like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what to do with my intimacy with my spouse. I'm terrified that we're going to lose our marriage because it's just not there. And I feel like something's terribly wrong with me.
I think just don't internalize it is my best advice. Like, use your words that, you know, like you said, that they're not mind readers. So I think if we just like explain to them, hey, I'm feeling this way today, or, and yeah, it might take out the spontaneity, but I do know that being intimate at least once a week is very important for your relationship. I think it really is helpful. And there are ways, you know, it doesn't even have to be that, go on a date, you know, just have time with just that person. It doesn't have to be like you have to have sex, but you should have conversation, and you should hopefully, you know, even like Adam and I, you know, we don't role play, but like we pretend like he'll pick me up, you know, he'll be like, oh, hey, how are you? You know, like a little, you know, like let's go on a date. And like, I find it hilarious, but you know, I enjoy that part of it. And I think it's really important that we connect and talk. And I'm very fortunate, you know, we're together all the time. He works from home. It's great, but it's different when you get dressed up and put the effort and like,
for sure,
let them know that you still care, that they see you as like a beautiful person.
Yeah. Which you definitely are, Julie. Oh, I mean, you are a beautiful person, but it has been so great to have you on and just really express how you are, because you really have such a different dynamic, and it's just a really neat to have you share. And I think it's important when people see you, they think, oh, she's got it all. But to have you share about like your stuff going on, and like, yes, every one of us struggle with this stuff and we have to communicate.
Yeah. And just one, Amanda had touched on it earlier, like incontinence is a huge issue. Like I have catheters, and like, that's something after sex that, you know, with infections, you worry about that. Like, am I pushing it further in? So you have to like wipe yourself before you do that, you know, like all these little steps that other people don't have to think about. But I do think it's really important to talk about that part of it. If you are having incontinence, there are ways to like help that and make it better for you.
Yeah. Thank you, Julie, for sharing that. Cause I'm
sorry, I talked way too much.
No. I'm glad you did, because it's something that people don't know, and that can be scary. And thank you for sharing that. So that is a really big thing. I'm glad that she shared that, because, you know, there's so many when you're getting into primary and secondary that there's different issues, right? I think all three of us are still in relapsing remitting. Correct. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, I've got clients that are in secondary, primary, and their issues sexually are much different. And so I think that that's important too. And that's a lot where the body mapping with a lot of my clients come into, because they may not like having sex, intercourse may not be a thing later. So that's where they get a lot out of just literally being naked and just being together, where that becomes something that is their new intimacy, which is very fulfilling. So I think we touched on this a little bit before about it doesn't always have to be the act of sex and orgasm. It's the act of intimacy and that closeness you feel with that person, with your spouse, that is so important.
I think so. Something that also is super important to realize is that like we as MS patients are not in this intimacy relationship alone, right? Like we have these partners who also have not just like their own sexual lives and beings, but also worry about us. So like when I had my big relapse, my husband's incredible. Like he was there through all of it, but it was life-changing for both of us. And so when I was home from rehab, and, you know, I had learned to walk again, and I was talking regularly again. And so it's hard for him to go from caretaker, because he really was like one of my two main caretakers, back to seeing me as his wife, his sexual partner, his right, intimate partner. Not only had my physical body changed, my emotional and mental body had changed. He had this really dramatic shift as well, like from worrying about me 24/7, making sure that I had cups that I could drink out of and that my walker or my wheelchair was available, to now we're going back to this place where, you know, we're expected to be not expected to be, we want it to be, but right. It's, the shift is, sure. It can be so difficult.
Well, for him to go to ferociously want to rip your clothes off after taking right. care, you know, after having, being so cautious and careful with you, I think is, Amanda, I mean, my gosh, that's so perfectly said, because there's so many women who struggle with this as a patient going through a relapse, and then their husband is the one taking care of them. And then it's like, okay, I feel better and I want to right. be sexy to you. And the husband is, I don't know where to shift from this. And then
just
the
seeing you in this super vulnerable yeah. place, right? Where he's like literally taking care of everything. And now it's just important to realize that, like, while we may be going through the MS, they're also dealing with mm-hmm. the MS.
100%.
God bless. My husband is incredible. And just, he was amazing through the whole process. But it was something that we had to work through together, for sure. There were a lot of tears and, you know, late night talks. And, mm-hmm. but if it's something that's important to you, it's worth going through all of that to get to the other side of it.
Yeah. And that's another really good thing, Amanda and Roxanne, you've touched on where the counseling comes in, because sometimes that one thing, that one relapse can be the end
yeah.
and a huge change in a marriage, because you're feeling better. You want to be looked at now as wife, as sexy, and he just can't get over that hurdle. And a lot of times that goes on for a long time. And without someone to talk to, without a therapist to go through this with, it's a really difficult challenge. And I have seen marriages come to a really bad place so often in that it didn't need to, if someone was there just to help them through that, because it's hard on him and it's hard on you. And for him to see you different, he may need a little bit of help on that. And I, so often we know that the caregiver is not, they don't have that. They don't have that help that they need. And especially yeah. with the man, it's hard to ask for that help.
Yeah. I am so glad you said that, Amanda. Like, I was in the comments amening you, because I'm like, this is something that's really important to talk about. And it's really important that whoever your partner is, if you are the person that is, like, you know, fighting MS and you are living with MS, it is really important that your partner also has a circle that they can be really honest with, be, you know,
very much.
Because when I was first diagnosed, you know, I knew that my husband had a lot of sadness around, like, we wanted to move back overseas. There were things that in our lives, like dreams that have had to, you know, change and die, frankly, because of my diagnoses. And I couldn't be his primary person to hear all of that at that time, because I was just mourning the fact that I, you know, couldn't use my left leg. Right. So it's like, but understanding and having compassion and grace for the way that we are both going to respond and react to this, because I think it's really, my recent flare up, couldn't walk in the hospital for 5 days. I couldn't feel below my waist. And the first few days of that, I was a mess, because I thought, sex will never feel good again, you know, because right. that's the thing with MS. It's like, cause I went through some of these feelings postpartum, if I'm honest, mm-hmm. about, oh, my body's changed. Will he see right. me in the same way as sexy? Because he just saw sure. like head come out, you know, like all these things. Right. But first of all, that had a lot to do with how we define sexy as a culture, which is so much for the usage of people.
Right.
So that gets me back to that. But
right.
to me, you know what, there's nothing more sexy in the world than the fact that my husband has seen me at my worst, right. at my most vulnerable place, and he wants to be with me. There is nothing more sexy yes. than that, first of all.
Yeah.
But it's so different with MS, because than just postpartum, right? For me, because whenever a new symptom comes, I'm still only 5 years out from my diagnosis, I think to myself, is this my life for the rest of my life? And that yeah. mental game is so devastating and hard. You know, yeah, and I'm not going to talk over it. And I'm going to tell anyone that's listening, you will get better at fighting it, because yes. you were built for hard things. Yes. Like, this makes me cry, because I'm preaching to myself, because, you know, I'm even going through something minor, but hard right now. Like, we were built for hard. We can handle it, but yeah. it's about, like, saying, you know, and the first time we were intimate after my recent flare up, like we both were crying. It was, you know, and it was a very hard, but that is deep intimacy. You know what I mean? It's not about let's make sure you feel good and I feel good. And it's just like, let's get it over. It's like, let's go the pace we need to go. Like Amanda said, I just am so glad you said that. Cause I think that we need to normalize that there are going to be those bumps in the road. You're not going to come back from a flare up and just want to put on lingerie and be sexy. No. Maybe you will. That's wonderful. But also, if that's not your first response, nothing is broken with you. You are on a journey. You got to have grace for yourself, grace for your partner. You guys have to work this out. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm also here to tell you that the best sex ever has come from us going through hard things together and coming out on the other end. Yeah. Right. It's not 100%. About technique. It's not about, you know, whatever. It's about intimacy, truly emotional intimacy. So I love that you said that, Amanda.
And back at you, Roxanne, because I remember just having a bad kind of flare a couple of years ago with Lance. And just for a while after, it wasn't anything like I wasn't hanging from chandeliers. It was very, you know, it was just kind of being like holding and crying for the first several times. And that was a very intimate, you know, a sexual experience that wasn't mind blowing. It was exactly what we both needed. It was scary. And we both went through a lot. And that's what we needed. And so I think it is about figuring out what you both need and getting to that place. And I didn't know that that's what he needed as well. I just want to be naked with you. I just want to be with you sexually, but I don't know what I can give. I'm not feeling really strong, but I want to be with you. And I think telling him that and then watching me cry, I may cry, but it's not because I want to stop. It's just because I love you so much. And I'm so grateful to be home and be with you again.
And even Kathy, what you're saying, like we almost need to redefine mind blowing, right?
Right.
Because that to me, sharing your one precious life with somebody and with even, you know, other relationships, not just my husband, but like sharing my one precious life where I fully show up, that is mind blowing to me.
Yes.
And now I'm not saying like that we don't, all the other stuff doesn't matter. Like it absolutely does. I believe we should have really fulfilling sex
and hang from chandeliers.
Yeah. Or wearing or doing or whatever, you know, like that's fine. But I think like even our society has like tricked us into counterfeit version of what mind blowing is. Cause if I were to die tomorrow, my life has been mind blowing because of the people that I've chosen to share it with.
Yes.
I want to cry because that vulnerability and truly being seen and loved and accepted, that is mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
That is fulfilling because like, you know, when I hope me and my husband make it to very old and we're 80 years old sitting watching, hopefully our grandchildren, like there might not be chandeliers, but you know what? There will be deep intimacy if we continue to work on it. And if we continue to show up and we both continue to be available, and that is mind blowing. You know what I mean? Like the movies are selling a counterfeit version of mind blowing. They really are. Yeah.
And I think that's the perfect time where we end with, what would be your message? If you could give a message to women today with MS that don't know that don't know what they're doing right now, and they just feel so hopeless and lost with their intimacy and with their partner and feeling like what you said with each flare, oh my gosh, this is it.
For me, I think it's just number one, communication is key. Like it's so cliche to say that, but communication is everything, right? Number two, give yourself grace. Everybody is going through something and everybody has to work through those things. This is just your journey and it's different than, you know, than Sarah's. It's different than Kathy's. It's different than Roxanne's. So give yourself some grace and also find new opportunity in the struggles and in the issues that you're having, right? If you're in a lull or something, try something new. Like maybe you go and try like tantric yoga or something together. Like, have fun with trying new things, because if the normal isn't working, go explore, like, yeah, have fun with your life, right? Yeah. Find new opportunities out of, I don't want to say tragedy, but out of the gray, you know, find the rainbow.
Yeah, I like that. I forgot the yoga stuff, so put that in the, we'll put that in the notes.
I haven't tried it, but I would love to.
Yeah, explain what that is real quick.
Tantric yoga. Yeah. So it's just, it's yoga-ish, but it's very much like a mind-body connection between two people. Of course, my cat's back, because why
wouldn't she? She wants to do the connection.
I guess so. It's very much about like connection and eye contact, and it's a mind-body connection through yoga with your intimate partner.
Thank you.
I haven't tried it, but I really want to.
No, I love it. Now, when you said it, I was like, oh, I was looking it up. So if you don't know what it is, obviously you can look it up, but I think that would be, sure, that's an excellent idea. Thank you, Amanda. Roxanne?
I'm an encourager. I love words of affirmation, so I'm going to give them to other people. But I would just say, I wrote down some thoughts because I'm, you know, I'm going to talk too much, but I just want to say, like, the question you asked, what would you say to somebody? I think about like where I was 5 years ago, feeling like my life was over and that my version of my life just got a lot smaller, and, you know, searching hashtags in the middle of the night when I couldn't sleep and, you know, all these things. I would just say, you are not alone. And I'm not going to say do not fear, because I know, as somebody that I consider myself a strong person, fear is part of it. Anxiety is part of it. I've talked a lot about this even on my social media. Like, every time I go to a infusion, I keep thinking this should get easier. But this is what it is for me. It doesn't necessarily get easier, but I get more capable and stronger. So like, it's weird, right? But like, this is your unique journey. It's really hard. It's messy, but there's so much beauty that you can miss if you're only focusing on survival. Like, there is thriving in whatever comes to you in life, you know, like some of the most amazing humans, right, that we learn from throughout history have been through some of the hardest things, right? So I would just say, you can figure this out. It's hard, but you can do hard things. Weakness is strength. Ask for help and allow yourself to really be seen. And I don't just mean like your body, I mean your soul. And I think like, relationships always involve risks, right? People can always let you down. You're going to hurt someone else. Like, that is what relationship is. But I will choose to spend my one life entering into that risk, because for me, the reward of, like we talked about, vulnerability, like compassion from another human being, is worth it. And I can't control anyone else's behavior or their choices, but I can show up fully. And, you know, I will choose to be vulnerable and show up. And I would just encourage people to do that, because when we keep everything inside, it can just really you know, implode in us. And if we're not able to get that help and to receive compassion and to give it, you know, you're capable of so much giving and compassion and gratitude and thriving, you know? So this is hard. I'm not here to tell you some BS, like, it'll get easier. For me, it has not gotten easier, but I am here to say, you were built for it. You can do it. You can walk this. And for me, like, God enables me to do that as I go forward, but it's not because it's gotten easier. I wish I could tell you that. I can't.
No, but that was beautifully said, Roxanne. Beautifully said. And I love that you talk a lot, because I think you have great things to say. So you don't ever have to apologize for that. So I guess you guys pretty much said it all. I would just put down that always remember that you are more than enough. Don't ever think or believe or let lies come in that you're not enough or that the disease has taken you away, because it hasn't. Obviously, I agree so much with Roxanne. My faith has always gotten me through. I always say that my divorce was horrific, but I didn't divorce God. My relationship with God has been what has been my rock with my family, my husband, my kids. And remember that you are precious. You were made for a purpose, and the MS didn't take that away. If anything, I have found that through the huge struggles, it has given me opportunities to be with people that I may never, ever meet. and to give them encouragement, to give women life and encouragement through things that I would never have been able to do had I not had this disease, that I could choose to say this wretched thing, or I could choose to say this disease that I can give back to so many. And I can use the gifts that I've been given, which is exercise and things like that, that I can give movement back to. And I'm grateful to do that. And I'm grateful to have this podcast that God gave me, this gift of being very chatty. And so I can give this away, and I can give this, these beautiful women, and have guests on here that are able to do, give so much back to this community. And if I didn't have multiple sclerosis, I would never be doing that. I would be doing something very different. And so I don't take anything for granted, not a sunny day, not a day with my husband, not a day with my children. I appreciate all of the beauty that's around me. And I can't say that I take one thing for granted. And yes, there's risks in relationships. And I know that people could hurt me. I know I can be hurt and wounded, but I also know there's a covering, and that just like God caught me with the MS, and he's caught me every time. Someone may hurt me, but he'll catch me again. So I would just say, it's okay, be brave and allow yourself to hope and love, and know that you have a big community that will love you, whether it's maybe family will not be there, but there's so many communities out there. There's so much support group. There's so many things and people, if you look, that will come and love you. So don't, again, I'm with Roxanne and Amanda. I'm not going to say don't be afraid, because it can be a really scary, but don't stop living, because there's so many things that you can still do that are bigger than you ever thought. So that would be my advice to you.
I love that. I love that.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Move It or Lose It podcast, where you can again find us wherever you like your podcast, whether it's Apple, Spotify. Join us on that. And we can't wait to see you again. We're going to have a lot of exciting guests and working together. And as always, you'll hear us say at the end of every podcast, we are stronger together. So let's do it. Let's become stronger together. Have a great day.